Well, good evening. This is Bobby Stafford coming to you from the Grammy Church of Christ on our Sunday evening lesson. We're going to be looking at the doctrine of will there be a tribulation, and I'm going to be relying a great deal on Dave Miller's work. And the reason for this is, of course, all that's going on in the Middle East right now. And you hear so much about people saying, well, is this the end? Is this Gog and Magog? Is this Armageddon? Is, you know, on and on. And so we're going to be looking at that question this evening on will there be a tribulation? And is this the end times? Many people in the world believe in what's called dispensationalism. Dispensationalists believe that Christ will come secretly, in other words, unannounced, without anyone knowing, and will snatch away the saved at the time they call the rapture, and that he'll take them directly to heaven where they will receive their reward. They claim that Revelation chapters 4 and 5 describe this scene. During this period, they claim a seven-year tribulation will take place, will rage here on earth. And they say that's what Revelation chapters or through chapter 19 talks about. And that it will end with the Battle of Armageddon. And they put different passages here and there to try and support that theory. But probably the chapter they rely on the most to try and promote this theory is Matthew chapter 24. And so that's the chapter we're really going to look at tonight, at least part of it, and then look at maybe more of it next Sunday evening. Whenever we read the Bible to determine its meaning, the most important word is context. And that is certainly true with Matthew chapter 24. Context is the most important thing. So when people talk about Matthew chapter 24, we need to go back to Matthew chapter 23, especially toward the end, to see what is leading up to Matthew 24. So in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 37, these are the last three verses of that chapter. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, this is Christ talking. The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here in Matthew 23, Jesus is pronouncing a number of different woes upon the Jewish nation, especially the Jewish authorities. He says their house will be left to them desolate. Well, then he leaves the confines of the temple, but pauses once he gets so far with his disciples to still talk about the temple. And let's notice verses 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 24. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. He says, look at the temple. And of course, he says, not one stone will be left sitting upon another. In other words, it'll just be completely brought down and ruined. And of course, that statement would have been shocking to Jewish people. In other words, that had grown up in Judaism. I mean, the temple was everything to them. They took great pride in it because that to them is where God's presence dwelt. And so many of them thought that temple would last forever. So when Jesus says, look at what's going to happen to this temple one day. It's going to be brought down. Well, the disciples ask him some questions. Verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" When people don't analyze that carefully, they think that's all one question, but he is talking about different events entirely, as we'll see when we look at the rest of Matthew chapter 24. So he is going to answer those questions, and he's going to answer them in such a way that the disciples understand he is talking about two entirely different events, and that's what's critical. Sadly, people who believe in dispensationalism, premillennialism, and so forth, believe that Matthew chapter 24 is all talking about one event, and that's the end of time. But that's not what Jesus says, and the only thing we're concerned about is what the Bible says. That's the only thing that's important. So what Jesus begins to do after they ask him that question is he begins responding to those questions by listing, enumerating a number of different signs that's going to take place prior to the destruction of the temple. So let's look at a few of those signs that he says. The first one, verses 4 and 5. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" Okay, so he says there's one sign. This will happen before the temple is destroyed. And, of course, history tells us that's exactly what happened. In those about 40 years from the time Jesus talks until the destruction of the temple, there's a lot of so-called false messiahs that would arise, and they would claim to be Christ. And so you look at people like Josephus. He reported that there were many of them false messiahs. Gamaliel talks about how that happened, Acts chapter 5, if you look at that. Apostle Paul, somewhere in the mid-50s A.D., talked about false apostles of Christ that were circulating. So his history tells us that in that 40-year period up to the destruction of the temple in A.D. 70, there were many people who came along saying they were the Messiah. And so Jesus is here is warning them, don't let any of those people deceive you, because many people will come along claiming to be the Christ. Okay, so there's the first sign, he says. The second sign is in verse 6. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So these things were going to happen, but that was going to happen well before the destruction of the temple. And so he says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars that would circulate. And again, we just have to go back in history, and during that 40-year period between Matthew 24 and AD 70, there were many, many wars that the Romans engaged in, because the Romans, of course, that they were the leading world rulers at the time. And there were many wars that took place between them and other nations. And so it was a verifiable fact that there were many, many wars that went on up to the destruction of the temple. But Jesus said, don't again be deceived. That's not the end, all right? It's not the end yet. There's going to be wars. Well, the third sign, verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." So Jesus predicted here that there would be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. And again, it's documented in history that during the years leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, there were all kinds of famines due to various reasons, all kinds of earthquakes. There was a huge famine during the reign of Claudius Caesar. That was sometime around AD 47. There was also an unusual number of big earthquakes during the reign of Nero. That would be like AD 60 to AD 70. And so there were these things happened, and Jesus said, these, you know, don't be surprised that these things happen, because they're going to happen, you know, up to the time of the destruction of the temple in AD 70. And of course, that would not make any sense if he was talking about the end of the world and the second coming and so forth of Christ. That wouldn't make any sense, because there's thousands of earthquakes every year. And there has been the past 2,000 years, you know, every day. So Jesus is saying here that these were going to be things that happened in that those decades leading up to the destruction of the temple. And so, you know, certainly every time an earthquake would occur during that time period, the disciples, because they heard his teaching, would be reminded. All right, Jesus said the temple's going to be destroyed, and so this was one of the signs that would lead up to it. Not immediately before it, but would lead up to it. Then verses 8 and 9, he says, another sign, fourth sign. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So Jesus says that the apostles would be hated and persecuted and even killed. And we look at the apostles, and we look at many of them were killed before AD 70. They were killed in different ways before the destruction of Jerusalem. Well, he goes on in that same frame, that same basic sign, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So Jesus is further saying that these false prophets would arise, Christians would start to lose faith. Why? Well, for a number of reasons, but probably because of persecution. Evil would abound. Evil would increase. And so as persecution got worse and worse, which it did during that time, all we have to do is read the book of Acts and we see about that. The faith of many, it says, would grow cold. And it did. Many people, their faith grew cold. Christians' faith grew cold. Apostasy, leaving the faith, became very prevalent. Well, then he goes on in verse 14 and says, here's the fifth sign that these things would happen prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. Not immediately right before it, but in those years before it happened. Fifth sign, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So Jesus said the gospel will be preached in all the world. And we read again, we look at the book of Acts, and Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, which would have been in the late 50s probably, AD, and said their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, probably in the mid or early to mid 60s AD, he said that the gospel been preached to every creature which is under heaven. It's in Colossians chapter 1. So the point is clear. There was another sign of what would happen in the years prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, then things change just slightly. He says, once all these signs, the false Christ, the false apostles, the wars, the rumors of wars, the famines, the earthquakes, the persecution, and so forth, after they came to pass, Jesus says, the end would come. The end of what? The end of Jerusalem. The end of the temple. The end of the formal Judaism. The end of that Old Testament, you know, sacrifices and so forth. Jesus said this end would come about with the presence of, and now he starts talking about what's going to happen right before the destruction of Jerusalem. These other things would happen from like AD 30 all the way up to the end. But now he's going to talk about what's going to happen right before the destruction of Jerusalem. Right before. Verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. So this was something that was understandable to the people at that time. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So Jesus said this end would come about with the presence of the abomination of desolation in the holy place. And here Jesus is going back and using something said back in Daniel chapter 9. And this refers to this the presence of the Roman army. They were the ones that were marching on Jerusalem. They were the ones that were going to come and destroy the city of Jerusalem, destroy the temple, and so forth. You can also look in Luke chapter 21, where Luke talks pretty much about the same thing, his version of this. So what did Jesus urge the faithful to do? Flee to the mountains. Again, we go to history. History records a fact concerning the fall of Jerusalem there in AD 70. So as AD 70 is approaching, Christians who had this Jewish background, they took this sign seriously. When they saw the Roman armies coming and so forth, they took it seriously. And what did they do? They dropped everything. They dropped everything and made their escape. They got out of Dodge, to use an old expression. So while God was going to bring wrath upon the unbelieving Jews that stayed in the city, he made a provision for these Christians to escape. Now, if this passage refers to the rapture, which the Bible never mentions, and the saved were about to be removed to heaven, why would Jesus tell them to flee to the mountains? See, it doesn't make any sense at all. So that's why there is no such thing as the rapture or what he's going to talk about as the tribulation. That goes against the context of what Jesus is saying. Well, we go on. He says, verse 17, let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Again, this was a warning to these Christians living in Jerusalem. You know, don't take anything with you. Don't take time to go down in your house and pack stuff up. Leave. If you want to be saved, leave. And of course, that's what they were doing and did. Verses 19 and 20, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. These are additional hardships. And of course, they are hardship, you know, pregnancy and protecting and nursing children and so forth. That's hard even under normal circumstances. But under these circumstances, it was even more difficult. So again, Jesus is providing them a way for them to tell, this is the time to leave Jerusalem. Don't wait, just get out now, and you'll be saved. And that's what we find out history tells us they did. They took Jesus' warning seriously and got out of town. Then he says, verse 21, for then, there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. Great tribulation. Worse than any time in the history of the world, and worse, this was the worst that it would ever be until the very end of time. He said, this is it. This is the worst. And of course, again, reading history, we read about how horrible the situation was for those unbelieving Jews who were in Jerusalem, and what they went through was truly horrible. The misery and the suffering was just terrible. And we read about that tribulation that they went through. And that was the tribulation he's talking about. Not some future tribulation before Jesus comes back. He was talking about those months of horrible suffering and grief that those people who stayed in Jerusalem went through. The death was just astronomical. The people that died there, that were killed, it was just hard to really imagine how horrible it was. But again, Jesus had made provision for the believing, for those Christians to get out, and they didn't suffer. Well, he goes on and says, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, for the Christians, those believing ones, those days will be shortened." And so they, again, had that time to get out prior to, so they could be saved. Well, then he says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it." See, this is not talking about the second coming and the end of the world at all. "For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonder to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he's in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe it." So he is telling them, you know, over and over and over again, don't be deceived by these people. Because the Bible says when Jesus comes physically at the very end, everybody's going to know it. Everybody in the world will know when he comes again. And there's so many verses that state that, that there's no point in reading them all right now. But the second coming, this real second coming, when Jesus comes back and it's the end of time and the judgment and the world's going to be destroyed and all that, is going to be very, very visible. The Bible talks about you know, the archangel, you know, blowing the trumpet, and everybody is going to know. Everybody's going to know. There's nothing secret. There is no secret coming of Jesus the Bible ever talks about. Then verse 7 says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west." Now, when lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, that's something everybody's going to see. So he says, also will the coming of the Son of Man be. When Jesus actually comes, finally, his physical second coming, again, everybody's going to know it. There's nothing secret about it in any way, shape, or form. And he says, "For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together." We know that eagles are like vultures in the sense they're carrion feeders. That's what they do. And of course, the eagle was the symbol of the Roman army, the Roman Empire, the Roman authority. It was in the form of an eagle. And that symbol was carried with the Roman army when they would go out and be involved in battles and wars. So in AD 70, when the Roman armies came and swept through and killed those unbelieving Jews in the city and destroyed the city, destroyed the temple and burned it and so forth, that's when those Roman vultures swarmed over Jerusalem and devoured the carcass of that, we want to call it apostate Judaism, the Judaic economy, whatever we might want to call it. Well, we've still got so much more to talk about, but that's probably a good place to stop for tonight. But keep these things in mind, because Jesus still has more to say about this, beginning in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 24. And if the Lord allows us all to be here next Sunday evening, then we will start with Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and following. Well,